In the past, it's been called the Dover test. The American public's reaction to combat deaths as flag-draped caskets flow into Dover Air Force Base in Delaware has long been a litmus test of public support for military intervention. This time, the test is being sidestepped. In March, the Pentagon issued a mandate banning media coverage of coffins arriving at U.S. military bases. What do you think about this policy? Does allowing news coverage of an arriving coffin violate a family's privacy or recognize the sacrifice of a fallen soldier? Is it spin? Join the conversation. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Our number again, 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN@NPR.org. And joining us now is Dana Milbank, who wrote an article about the new policy in today's Washington Post. And thanks very much for being with us.
Certainly, Neil.
And I guess the first thing to say, and the article says it, is it's not really a new policy.
No, it really isn't. What's new is that they're actually enforcing it. Actually, Dover Air Force Base, which has the main mortuary and really is where virtually all the remains passed through at one point, actually has imposed this since before the first Gulf War in 1991. But there are plenty of other bases that the caskets go to in their transit, whether that's Ramstein in Germany, often through Andrews here in the Washington area. The people in the Pentagon told me that the official policy to follow Dover was actually developed sometime around November of 2000, in the very last days of the Clinton administration, but for whatever reason, it was never enforced, and the photographs continued to come out right through the Afghanistan war until this directive came out, really clamping down in March of this year.
And how is it being enforced? I mean, are cameras literally being prevented, reporters and photographers, from moving into the area?
The bases are closed to journalists for those sessions, plain and simple.
The conclusion that this might be some politics behind this is almost inescapable, that, you know, when things are going well, the sacrifice of the soldiers is recognized in those flag-draped coffins solemnly carried off the airplanes. It's a ceremony. Of course, it's a sobering moment, but you recognize the national sacrifice. When you get into a situation like Iraq, suddenly it seems to be stopping now.
Right. Well, of course, the Pentagon has denied that there's any political factor behind this, and I don't think anybody's proved that there is. They say there's a whole bunch of difficult reasons. For example, you don't know exactly when remains are going to arrive at a particular place, how long they're going to be there, so it'd be difficult for them to coordinate having the family members knowing when to have them assemble, and if you're not going to have the family members there, well, then maybe it's a privacy violation to have the cameras brought in. So there are actual reasons for it that could explain this. It does seem to have followed a pattern. For example, when Dover, back in 1991, before the first Gulf War, ruled out such photography, it came perhaps a year after the first President Bush was embarrassed during a press conference because the media outlets went to a split screen showing him sort of joking with reporters and showing the caskets arriving on the same screen. Now, he didn't know that was going on at the time, but he was quite furious. We don't know if that's related, but it certainly was, the timing was close.
Now, we're talking about a policy regarding the arrival of coffins at U.S. military bases. Once the body is turned over to the family for a funeral, is the policy extend to that?
Then it's up to the individual family. In fact, there have been photographs of burials at Arlington and other cemeteries during this war. It is not just the arrivals at the base. It's also departures from other bases and all the points in transit. If you think about it, that's not an image we have seen over the last 6 months, and the only image we've really seen is that of the bugles playing taps at the cemetery.
Our phone number again is 800-989-8255, and let's talk with Jeffrey, who's with us from Dayton, Ohio.
Thank you, Neil, for taking my call. I'm a retired Air Force reservist. Somewhat disappointed to hear of the policy, and I have to confess that I am skeptical about the timing of it, because I have seen and have used in a lot of my history work photographs of remains being returned through Dover. One in particular stands out in my mind was a stunning photograph of six coffins in the back of a C-17 that were repatriated from Vietnam. And to me, it was quite a quite a patriotic photograph and reminded all of us of the sacrifices that, those in uniform sign up to take. And I would find it regretful that if in a knee-jerk reaction to an inappropriate event on the part of the media or whoever, we were to cut off this kind of coverage. Everyone needs to be reminded of the cost of going to war, and those of us in the military, those of us outside of the military. This is one of the ways that those reminders come across.
Okay, Jeffrey, thanks very much for the call.
You bet.
What kind of reaction are you getting from the military when you talk to them, Dana?
Not a tremendous one. They actually didn't even want to speak on the record when I actually wrote the story, and they're saying, look, it's a lot to do about nothing that we've been trying to impose these restrictions for some time. There is a case to be made that through history this was not, in fact, a dominant way of doing things. A lot of people say they don't recall a lot of such ceremonies during Vietnam. It is true that when some of the remains were later repatriated after the war, there were some elaborate ceremonies for that. It was actually, of all people, Ronald Reagan who really made a big event of the memorials, the appearing, pinning Purple Hearts on the caskets. He hosted a service for the 241 Marines killed at in the bombing in Beirut. So many of our most powerful images of the Reagan presidency are just such images, and that's something that Clinton continued as well.
Well, joining us now is Meredith Leva. She runs the website SyncHouse.com, which is a forum for military wives, and she's with us by phone from her home in Panama City, Florida, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Neil.
Any military families, are they reacting to this policy?
You know, it's a really mixed bag of emotions. On the one hand, many military families feel that the media has very much abused them, and the best example is a case we had 2 years ago of an Army wife, and the service member had literally been blown up. She, in a rash moment, invited the media to do a press conference, and they subsequently literally camped out on her front lawn. Mm. And at one point, telling them to go away, they got frustrated and asked her, did she know that the reason why it was taking so long to hold a funeral service is because the Army was literally piecing together her husband. And this was said in front of their three-year-old son. So that's the kind of treatment that military families have really come to expect and find abusive from the media. On the other hand, there's just a tremendous amount of pride at seeing those flags and hoping that Americans understand the great sacrifice that's being, you know, being made here. And of course, I think some families are concerned that there is some manipulation of politics and the media going on. And there is some question about that.
Mm-hmm. Dana, is this story that was published today? I mean, I'd not been aware of this policy before your story today. Is it getting much of a reaction?
Well, a couple of the Democratic presidential campaigns are beginning to make some noise about it. So it'll obviously, we're beginning to enter the political season, so it will have some resonance there.
Mm-hmm.
The White House is, the president's off in Asia or actually on his way to Australia, so they haven't made very much of a big deal of it. The president's overall pattern dealing with the fatalities coming home from war has been fairly low-key. He actually has not appeared at a memorial or a funeral service for those killed in action other than the usual sort of Memorial Day or September 11th service. So the White House pattern is generally one of sort of keeping quiet about it.
We're discussing a new policy, or actually a policy which is now being enforced, which bans media coverage of flag-draped coffins as they're unloaded at military bases around the world and around the country. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Our guests are Dana Milbank of The Washington Post, who reported this story today in The Washington Post, and Meredith Leva, who runs the website SyncHouse.com. And let's get another caller in, and that's Alice, who's with us from Penfield, New York.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Alice.
Thank you. I have reservations about photographing coffins because it seems to me that is a kind of a cold recognition of the sacrifice. But I thoroughly empathize with the presentation on the McNeil NewsHour.
Mm-hmm.
where the silent running of the photographs of these young people is truly striking and carries a much more emphatic message, I think.
Obviously the ways that we recognize the sacrifice of the soldiers overseas is important and individual to us all. Alice, thanks very much for the phone call.
Neil, if I can respond to that.
Sure.
She really has a point that the far more powerful message is not of the coffin itself, but of the life and the people, the family members, the young children left behind. And the truth is media has plenty of opportunities to get photos of a wife and child at the graveside and all that kind of stuff as the funerals take place. So, again, this goes back to the question, is the media really manipulating the political issue by treating the body count very coldly when they do have the opportunity to present a sacrifice in a much larger context?
Dana Milbank, is this policy likely to be tested in the courts?
Well, it actually was tested in the courts after Dover implemented its policy in 1991. It was a civil liberties challenge. There were appeals. I believe it was decided in 1996, but it was obviously allowed to stand, and that in part is why they proceeded with the overall policy.
Let's get another caller. Amber's on the line with us from Columbus, Georgia.
Hi there. I'm actually in Columbus right outside of Fort Benning. I'm a prior service member and also now a wife of a service member. I'm a little conflicted both ways on this issue. I feel that it's important for our sacrifices to be recognized in a reverent and, excuse the word, an appealing way. Mm-hmm. Their sacrifice is noted. I just don't feel that any name recognition or conflict recognition should happen. It should be done in a respectful way so that other sacrifices that aren't mentioned in that particular report are dismissed or seem less important than those being seen at that moment. So I'm a little conflicted having had that experience myself.
If, and we all hope that it doesn't come to this, but if it was you who was in that situation, Amber, would you be concerned about privacy?
I got to be honest with you, no, I'm not. But at the same time, I don't want my husband's name plastered on.
Yeah.
I don't want it to become a controversy. I want his sacrifice recognized and a part of something bigger than he is.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're losing the line, Amber, but thanks very much for the call and appreciate it. Good luck.
Neil, she makes a very important point about a major frustration among troops and their families, and that is there's never a discussion about how this person died as part of the greater context of a quote-unquote fight for freedom. In other words, you never hear a discussion about, yeah, this guy died because he was clearing a minefield in a children's soccer field, you know, so that 200 children could now play soccer free of fear of being blown up. I mean, those are sort of the larger questions that I'm sort of exaggerating an example, mm-hmm. but the troops definitely feel that they're not receiving fair and accurate media coverage of all the good that is going on over in Iraq.
Dana Milbank, that is an issue that is raging every day in the White House press room, certainly.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, it's something that the president has been complaining about for weeks now about the filter. There are signs that that's showing up in the public opinion polls. That is, some of the people in the Pentagon were saying that is part of the thinking here, and that is you'll get the fuller context if you cover a ceremony at the graveside and you hear about the soldier and what they did and what their mission was that you wouldn't actually get when all the coffins are lined up there on the tarmac. On the other hand, the military itself has acknowledged that that's a very powerful presentation, which is what General Hugh Shelton, who was a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Clinton administration, he's the one who coined the phrase, the Dover Test. Does the nation get to see the caskets laid out there?
Dana Milbank, thanks very much. Dana Milbank, a reporter for The Washington Post, speaking with us from his offices there. And Meredith Leva, we appreciate your time today. Meredith Leva runs the website thinkhouse.com. She spoke with us from Panama City. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.